Welcome to all of those who are joining today for a moment of prayer and a time of reflecting on God's word and work in your life. We gather together today in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and living God, you reveal yourself to us in the middle of our lives, oftentimes in the most ordinary and mundane ways. Open our hearts to recognize your presence in those everyday moments of our lives, when we feel misunderstood, overlooked, and burdened by our past. Remind us that you see us fully and love us completely. Fill us with the living water of Christ so that our lives may overflow with hope, hospitality, and the good news for others. It's in your holy name that we pray. Amen. And our reading today comes from the Holy Gospel according to John, the fourth chapter. And Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of a ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. And a Samaritan woman came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the city to buy food. And the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And the woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get the living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" And Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water, gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." And Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." And the woman answered him, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one that you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." And the woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." And Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one whom you are speaking to." Just then the disciples came, and they were astonished that Jesus was speaking with a woman. But no one said to him, "What do you want, or why are you speaking with her?" And then the woman had left her water jar and went back to the city. And she said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" And they left the city and they were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have a food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." And Jesus said to them, "My food is to do with the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say 4 months more than comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." And many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. And he told them of everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And they said to that woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard ourselves. And we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." So as we hear this gospel story today about the Samaritan woman at the well, I know it's a well-known story that's frequently heard and that we've all heard countless times before. And I'm sure it's a story that people, even those who aren't frequently in the church, know. And with knowing a story from the Bible, as much as we know this story of Jesus and the woman at the well, it can become more and more difficult to find new ways to hear and experience how God is talking and working through us in the scripture. So as I sat with this reading for a few days, waiting to hear that way that God was talking to me, I found myself drawn into this concept of meetings around wells. And we read of various stories throughout scriptures where important things happen at a well, and the ways that wells signify life and water, and the ways that wells serve as a landmark. And when we look at all of these times and accounts and stories of things that happen at wells, there's a storyline that often takes shape about how wells serve as a biblical meet-cute throughout scripture. Now, a meet-cute is definitely more of a modern-day term, but it's a word that's used to describe this moment that captures an amusing, charming, oftentimes unextraordinary first encounter between two people that lead to a development of a relationship between them. It's moments like at a dog park when two dogs run towards each other, forcing their owners to talk and interact. Or maybe it's two people who race to work every morning fighting over the better parking space. Could be two people who go to the same coffee shop at the same time every Saturday morning to start their weekends. Whatever it looks like, a meet-cute marks a time and a place where people meet as they are passing through just their ordinary rhythm of their lives. And throughout scripture, we read of a variety of these types of interactions around a well. A time where their daily lives of people intersect with those unexpected relationships, marking wells as sort of this biblical meet-cute space. In Genesis chapter 24, we read of the story of Rebekah approaching a well in the evening where she becomes the person who God said would be Isaac's wife. And so she goes from that place having her brother's permission to Isaac and gets married, and we read that Isaac loves her deeply. And then just a few chapters later, we read of Jacob who goes to a relative's well, and there he meets Rachel, who is tending to her family's flock of sheep. And while their story may not be the typical fairy tale love story that we picture or imagine, we still see how Jacob ends up marrying Rachel, and we're told how they love each other deeply. And again, in Exodus, we hear a story where Moses is on the run from Pharaoh, and he settles at a well, where then seven daughters of a local priest come out to tend and to care and to water their own flock. And he protects those daughters from those who are trying to keep them away from the well. And in doing this, he marries one of them, loving her as well. And so we have these stories of more and more wells that signify this theological meet-cute. And in reading our gospel account today, where Jesus is resting at a well, we wait for this conversation and this relationship that we anticipate is going to happen next. And to the well comes a Samaritan woman, just going about her daily life, gathering water. And it seems like this is just an ordinary moment, but it serves as this meet-cute where a moment between Jesus and the woman turns into a relationship. And that relationship then leads to a revelation. And as we learn more about who this woman is, it's easy to assume that we know all that we need to know about her through this story. We hear of her previous five husbands and the man that she is with now, but is not married to. And in hearing that, it can be easy for us to jump to this image of an immoral or scandalous woman. And much like it's quick and easy for us to jump to that picture, those who were living in society around her at that time had that same picture that this is who the woman was. And if we think back for a moment to societal structures in biblical times, we'll remember that women rarely, if ever, had any control over their choices, especially those in relationships. And in marriage, they were often treated as property, traded from their fathers and brothers into the hands of their new husbands. And in hearing of our Samaritan woman from the story today having five husbands, we don't know what the story is behind that. Maybe she's been widowed multiple times. Maybe she's been abandoned by some. Maybe she was passed from one to the next and just did what she had to do to survive. We don't get the privilege of knowing her full story. But we do know that those who lived around her viewed her as being unclean because of it. And we see this playing out in our gospel lesson today because she's going out to the well in the middle of the day. It's around noon when the sun is at its highest, it's the hottest it will be all day, and she's going out there by herself, despite how dangerous that might have been. And we know she has to go about her life in this different kind of lonely way because she's seen a certain way by those who live around her. But on this particular day, as she makes her way out to the well, she's met by Jesus. And he talks to her. And he doesn't talk to her with judgment. He's not approaching this conversation with any bits of suspicion. He doesn't sit in the space by the well trying to avoid having a conversation with her. But instead, he uses it as an opportunity to ask her for a drink. And it's through this interaction that we get to see Jesus doing something remarkable. We see how Jesus is crossing cultural barriers where Jewish men oftentimes would not have talked with a Samaritan woman. And he's showing her religious hospitality despite the different approaches that each would have had to their faith. And he blurred the lines of social expectations to reach out and to begin that relationship with this woman. And Jesus goes against the ways that this Samaritan woman would have been approached by everybody else in typical conversation, and it sparks a moment of curiosity that leads into connection between the two. And it's within the start of the relationship that the knowledge of who Jesus really is begins to come to light. And as the woman is retrieving water from the well, Jesus talks about offering a living water. Now, for the Samaritan woman, she would have understood living water as a water that was flowing, moving, as opposed to a water that was contained in a structure of a well. and living water to her would have had an understanding of being more clean. And it's through her understanding of living water that she misunderstands what Jesus is saying to her. Jesus continues on, going to reveal that he knows who the woman truly is. He talks about the rumors and the stories and the labels that this woman goes through life with, but Jesus looks past those things. Jesus sees the truth of her life and chooses to keep talking. He chooses to build this relationship with her. And he continues talking about worshiping and about God and the truth. And it's from this ordinary task in this woman's everyday life that she meets Jesus and has this interaction. And then something extraordinary is revealed to her as Jesus tells her, "I am he, the Messiah." And this is the first time that we read in Scripture of Jesus identifying himself as the Messiah. And it's not to religious leaders, it's not within the temple, it's not even to his disciples, but it's rather to the Samaritan woman at the well. Where other people viewed her as being unclean and unworthy of relationship, Jesus moved past all of that and chose her as the one to fully reveal himself to. And the transformation that the woman experiences through the relationship and through the revelation of who Jesus is immediate. And at once, she runs back to town. She leaves her filled water jugs at the well, and she exclaims the news of the man who she met, who is the Messiah. And she tells everyone of their interaction, that he told her everything that she has done and all that she is, telling them of the way to get to him, of the way that he knew her and chose her and still loved her despite knowing who she was. And she encouraged all to go and meet him as well. So we have this image of her running from a well that would have been a safe space away from people in the middle of the day back towards this town, towards this place where she had been judged and pushed aside, and she's now speaking to everyone who had done those things with courage and with conviction. And she's no longer defined by her past or through the whisperings of others about her, but Jesus used her and turned her into a witness. And at the start of the story, it appears as if Jesus met this woman at the well by chance. But as we continue reading, we learn it was so much more than just that. Jesus chose her. Jesus loved her. Jesus used her to bring together a community of faith. And it wasn't done in a synagogue or in some grand religious space. It began at a well, this everyday gathering place, an ancient version of a coffee shop for us today. And Jesus had this way of beginning this extraordinary relationship with others through their most ordinary and mundane moments in life. He did it at wells, along dusty roads and fishing boats, around a dinner table. And in many ways, I think God meets us in those same moments today when we least expect it. When we find ourselves just going about our average, everyday lives. And it's through these moments and interactions that we experience something similar to the Samaritan woman. It's in these conversations and through these unexpected encounters and the moments when we realize we are more deeply seen and known and loved than ever before. We feel God working through that. It's in the moments when we experience an overwhelming amount of grace and love that we can't help but run to others and shout with joy, sharing that good news and those good things with others. It's in these moments that we become just like that woman at the well. And I'm sure there's been times when we felt the Spirit moving through moments of prayer or in praise and worship. But I invite you these next couple of days and weeks to question what other ways you are meeting God. It can be through the strangers that you bump into at the grocery store, those random conversations that you have in coffee shops, those conversations you have with others on the sidelines of youth sports, and the coworkers that you pass each day. I invite you to remember the way that God shows up for you and to ask yourself how you can notice new ways, different ways, that God is showing up for you in the middle of those ordinary, routine moments of our lives. Amen. Join me again in a word of prayer. We pray for the church, all of creation, and the whole people of God. Almighty God, we pray for the whole church as we walk this Lenten journey beside Jesus. And we ask you to hold us in your promises of love and forgiveness, so that we may embody the peace and patience that you call the church into amidst the chaos of the world. Teach us to live in a way that embodies your way of mercy moving before judgment. And guide us to be the hands and the feet of you in the lives of those around us, giving others the abundance of the living water that you give to us. And Creator God, we rejoice in all aspects of your grand creation. Protect and comfort all as futures seem unclear. We ask that you continue to make your presence known to us in the ordinary moments of life, through the people we meet, the conversations we have, and the lives that we live. Nourish us with the promised living water to sustain us along that journey. Protecting God, we pray for the whole family of Christ. We ask that you continue to comfort those who feel alone or grieve, that you heal those who are sick, that you let your love be felt in all those who feel unworthy and unloved. Teach us what it means to love those around us for who they are and not who we see them to be. We trust in your promises to us, and we go out in faith with the gifts that you freely give to all. We pray all of these prayers and the silent ones of our heart in your holy name. Amen. Now may we go from this place in peace, sharing the good news with all.